Greetings. First and foremost, I would like to greet our moms at Resolve Bible Church a happy, happy Mother's Day. And at this time, I would like to invite you to please open your Bible to the book of 1 John chapter 2. We will be reading from God's Word. If you please open your Bible on 1 John chapter 2, starting on verse 15. And this is what the Word of God says. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. Children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out, that it might become plain that they all are not of us. But you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you all have knowledge. I write to you, not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he made to us, eternal life. I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you. But the anointing that you receive from him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about everything, and is true and is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink from him in shame at his coming. Praise be to God for the reading of his word. You may all sit down at this time. Well, let me join me in prayer. Father, we come in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray that we would exalt, that we would magnify his name. As we come and as we study your word, reveal yourself to us, God. Forgive us of our shortcomings. Forgive us of our sins. We thank you that our sins are forgiven as far as the east is from the west. Thank you for the finished work of our Savior Jesus Christ on the cross. We can confidently stand before you because of our Savior Jesus Christ. So we come. May his name be exalted. We pray for the Holy Spirit to grant each every one of us understanding, clarity, as we study your word. Indeed, the psalmist cried out as he had prayed that we would know your truth, that you would open our eyes that we may behold the wonderful things out of your law. May you do that work in our hearts today. As we study your word, especially in this area, oh God, in how we need to depend on the Holy Spirit, in how we need to abide in the Holy Spirit, and walk in step in the Spirit. Oh Lord, grant us understanding. May you magnify yourself in our gathering. For those who are listening online and watching, God, I pray that you would work in their hearts as well. Remove any distractions that they may have, any anxieties, any worries, that they'll be able to simply focus in this hour that is needed for our souls. Speak, God. So we thank you. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your kindness and your faithfulness in our lives. God, we pray that you would continue to help us live a life that pleases you, even as we study your word. We thank you for this time. In the precious name of our Savior Jesus Christ, we pray. And everyone said, amen and amen. As we turn our attention to the book of 1 John chapter 2, we find ourselves today starting on verse 24. And the title of our message is this: Remain True to the Gospel. Remain true to the gospel. And I want us to see some safeguards against false teaching. And as we have been learning in regards to the Antichrist last week from Pastor Nash, what I want us to see, it is for us to be able to handle the Word of God, be ready to give an answer for the hope that we have in Jesus Christ, and do it with gentleness, do it with kindness. So it is important for us to know God's Word, to be able to safeguard against false teaching. And I hope that it is something that you need today, especially with everything that's going on in our society today. And a lot of people out there with social media or even on different type of medium, in the media, they could easily open God's Word. But it is important for us to really know the Word of God. Because there's a lot of false teachers out there. There's a lot of false teaching going around. And I want to address this in where you are today as a follower of Jesus Christ. It is important that you know God's Word. That you are faithfully and obediently following the truth. The very Word of God. And what does this look like for us to abide in Jesus Christ? And the question I want us to ask is, how am I supposed to abide with Christ? How am I to persevere in my faith? In light of what's all going on in this pandemic, how am I supposed to persevere? How am I be able to stand forth in my walk with God? You know, this past Wednesday, I was so encouraged to hear one of our dear sisters during our prayer meeting, and how she had shared the Word of God in the past, and how that's being planted, the seed of God's Word has been planted in the life of different people, and now it's showing fruit. And now there's opportunity to really speak God's Word. You know, sometimes it's a great reminder for us to be faithful in the little things. You're simply planting the seeds in the life of people that God enables us to meet in a daily basis. So I was really encouraged and motivated by that, especially when we find ourselves in this, in our study today, that it's so important for us to know in how we handle God's Word. So in this passage, the Apostle John gives two basic points in answering that question. Again, the question is, how am I supposed to abide with Christ? If you want to continue walking with God throughout this life in this crazy world filled with false teaching, filled with errors, and it's really loud, the noise out there, like filled with even those who profess to be followers of Christ, who profess to be Christians, who fall away, who once believe. And that's a very dangerous territory for us to enter in. And we've seen in last year, prominent pastors who have taught God's Word and walk among believers in the church and led a big congregation and now professes to be no longer following Jesus Christ and denouncing Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. So the question, again, my beloved, if you and I are to continue with our walk with God and to persevere in our faith, with all the false teaching, filled with errors, filled with even those who profess to be Christians, the question is, how do we do it? How do we do it? So Apostle John gives this congregation 2 points, which are just as useful to us today. In verses 24 to 26, the first thing I want us to see is this: if we are going to flee or run away from error, we must abide in it. That's the first thing I want us to see. Then the second point you'll see in verses 27 and 28. If we're going to flee error, if we're going to run away from error, we must abide in Him. We must abide in Him. Now, that's the two-part recommendation that the Apostle John gives to help us, to help his congregation stay on the path of faith in Jesus Christ, to stay in the path of fellowship with one another, with the living God, in the midst of all sorts of crazy beliefs and assertions are following around them. So it's important for us to see in what's going on in the time of John as he was writing this and how he was encouraging them. It is also applicable in our time today. So the first thing I want us to see is this: to remain true to the gospel, we must abide in it. So I want you to look at with me in verse 24 and following. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 24, and this is what the Word of God says: let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that He made to us, eternal life. I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you. So the first thing again, church, is this: to remain true to the gospel, we must abide in it. So first of all, John says, if you are going to stay on the way of Jesus Christ, if we are going to stay in fellowship with God through Jesus Christ, we must abide in it. And that is, we must abide in the apostolic teaching. Listen to what he says. Listen to what the Apostle John says in 1 John verse 24. 1 John chapter 2, verse 24. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. So many of these Christians, many of these believers had heard the gospel message from the Apostle John himself. So they knew that Christ was God's Son, that He had died for their sins, that He had been raised to give the new life, to give them new life, and that He would return and establish His kingdom in its fullness. But their fellowship was being subverted by false teachers who were denying these basic doctrines of the Christian faith. And some of the believers were in danger of surrendering to false arguments or to these false teachers. So the Apostle John, he comes along, he encourages them to remain faithful to what they had, to what they had been taught from the beginning, to hold on to the Christian truth that had changed, that had transformed their very lives. So hold on to that truth. And that's what John is encouraging them, and that is what he's encouraging us to this very moment. It's to hold on to the truth of the gospel, the fundamentals of the faith. So, what is that which they had heard from the beginning? And simply this: what they have heard from the beginning is the apostles' teaching. They heard the apostles' teaching about the Bible truth, truth which the apostles had learned from the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And he says, look, if you want to be able to make it through when all of the world is telling crazy things into your ears, and you want to be able to discern the difference between truth and error, it is for us to be able to know the apostles' teaching. So in their day, you see, you had these false teachers saying these Christians to whom John originally wrote, we have some secret teachings which will really change your Christian life, will truly transform your life. This is what these false teachers were saying to these believers, these faithful believers that John is writing to. And John's response there was, go back to what the apostles first taught you. So in our days, we have people saying, oh, there's no such thing as absolute truth. And John would say the same thing to these people in our day. Go back to the truth taught to you by the apostles, and you will see that these new things which are being taught are wrong and they are deadly. I mean, when you look at the book of Acts chapter 2, and how when the church started, and I want us to see the very purpose that they were gathering in Acts chapter 2. In verse 42, Acts chapter 2, verse 42 says, and they devoted themselves, listen to this, they devoted themselves to what? To the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. This is what John is talking about. These are the things that they have learned directly from Jesus Christ himself. So he's coming along, he's letting them know. Here's what the apostle John is telling these believers, and he's telling us as well. Here's what you need to do. Go back to the truth which we, the apostles, first taught you. Go back to the Bible truth. Go back to that core teaching of the apostles. Go back to that gospel teaching which you heard from the apostles. Go back. And my beloved, we can do the same thing today. Yes, we live 2,000 years later, but we have the teaching of the apostles, and we can hold on in that, we hold on in our hands. This very truth of God. God has been so faithful all these years, these generations after generations, that you and I can have the very word of God. And this is what we need to hold on to. So the Apostle John is saying that in order to escape deadly error, Christians must live and grow in sound and original Bible teaching. Remember that. Take that. If there's anything that I want to encourage you today, it is indeed for us as followers of Christ, we must live and grow in sound teaching, because there's so many doctrine, there's so many bad teaching out there. Yes, they may say they're opening up the Bible, they're opening up God's word, but you know what? If you're not careful, if you're not faithful to the word of God, you will be misled. So I want to encourage you to be faithful as a student of God's word. Don't be lazy, because there's so many false teachers that can easily sway you to follow them. So remember that exhortation. Because my beloved, I believe this, all believers must grow in their knowledge of the Lord and develop their understanding through careful study, but they must never abandon the basic truths about Jesus Christ. That's the most fundamental thing that I want to encourage you. It is for us to continue to grow in the knowledge of our Savior Jesus Christ. Grow in grace. It is for us to have this careful study, that we must be faithful student of the Word of God. Because my beloved, we need to stay to the truth, because Jesus will always be God's Son. and his sacrifice for sin is permanent. The enemy cannot take that away from our Savior Jesus Christ. No truth will ever contradict these basic teachings in the Bible. See, John's readers needed to hold on to what they had been taught from the beginning, that Jesus is the Christ, that Jesus is the Son of God, in verse 22, who came in the flesh, as we have read in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Listen to this, in John chapter 1, 1 John chapter 1, verse 1 through 4. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, that which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing this thing so that our joy may be complete. You see, if these believers resisted the lies of the Antichrist, as we have heard from last Sunday, that this Antichrist that Apostle John is referring to are the false teachers. They would continue to live in fellowship with the Son and with the Father. If you and I, if what John is saying to these believers, if they resisted the lies of those false teachers, then we would continue to live in fellowship with the Son and with the Father. You see, by grasping to the truth about God the Father and Christ His Son, believers can be sure that they will never be separated from the fellowship with God. How important that truth for us today, and how we need to hold on to this very truth about who the Father is and who Jesus Christ is from the very Word of God. So can I encourage you, we are to dwell on the gospel. We are to dwell on the original message of the apostles. We are to dwell on the core truths of the faith which has been set forth by the apostles. This is what we need. So John warns against false teachers. Many powerful speakers claim to have important ideas for Christians to hear. Some present special angles on church doctrine, others go off on extreme tangents. And these are the false teachers of today. The question is, how do we discern between the off-center but benign ideas that often are attached onto the gospel and the serious, much to be avoided false teaching? And that's a good question. How do we discern this from the biblical perspective? With all the things that's going on, with all the teachings out there, with all these people posting on social media, on Facebook and Instagram, all these Bible verses, and most of them are taken out of context, and some believers are even reposting of some teachers, and yet they're false teachers. Believe me, I have seen Christians who have posted a quote by a false teacher. And I'm worried and I'm concerned about the understanding of that individual of who this person is and what that specific quote is about. So you and I need to be careful. You and I need to really know the Word of God. Because for us to be able to avoid and flee from these false teachers, we must know the truth. So the question again is, how do we discern? Perhaps we can follow these principles as you evaluate teaching. Use condemnation sparingly. An off-center idea may be out, but not necessarily heresy. A sincere but misguided teacher may not be a false teacher, No one understands God perfectly, so be generous and helpful long before you condemn and cast someone out. So again, use condemnation sparingly as you look at false teachers. The second thing I want us to pay attention is, pay attention to the teacher's ethical and moral behavior. You see, the Bible, the Word of God, stresses that false teachers will have immorality in their lives. Watch how they treat people and money. Don't excuse or cover up for bad behavior when you see that in a false teacher. So again, pay attention to the teacher's ethical and moral behavior. Number three, choose your church carefully. Is the living Christ at the center of your church ministry? Do leaders pray? Is the Bible honored and being taught faithfully? Is God at work there in their ministry? See, false churches may be very busy, but their teachings reveal the void when Christ and the Bible are pushed to the side. If that is the case, that's a great opportunity for you to look for a different church. So I want to encourage you. I know there's a lot of ministries that are live streaming their services out there. Be discerning who you're listening to, whether it be on the radio, whether it be on social media, or on YouTube. I know you want to learn all these things. For us, as teachers of Resolve Bible Church, reach out to us. If you're interested in listening to someone that you find inspiring for whatever he's saying, can I ask you, as members of Resolve Bible Church, that you would come to us as elders to ask, inquire about such pastor that you're listening to, even a book that you're reading. It's important that you are reading sound teaching, that you're listening and watching and putting all this thoughts into your heart and your mind. But it's important that it's biblical truth. So I want to encourage you, even the music that you're listening to, yeah, they may be a popular music group, right? Or an individual. But if they're backed by a church and their name is from a church, research about that church. Because the theology behind what they're singing is related to what they teach in their churches. So it is important for you to understand this, to move away from the basic teachings into various sidelines that contradict those basics is to be led astray into heresy. See, to you it may look normal in how they're just teaching you and feeding you from the Word of God, but yet they're misleading you. But it is faithful for you to be faithful student of God's Word. It is also our responsibility to be faithful in how we teach you God's Word in a weekly basis. That we are not misleading you as well. We are not perfect teachers, but it is important for you to know the very Word of God. So these false teachers not only left the faith and the fellowship, but they wanted to lead others astray as well. You see what these false teachers are doing? Right? They've left and they want to drag others to go with them and lead them to hell. Be careful that you will not become a victim of such individuals. Because these false teachers, their primary targets were the believers who remained in the church and remained true to the faith. So Apostle John warned believers to see clearly that these false teachers were talking lies. They're spreading lies. If the believers could spot the lies, then they would be able to stand against the false teaching. So I want to encourage you. If you're not sure, if you're not certain how to spot a false teacher, come ask us. Reach out to us as your pastors, as your elders of your local church here at Resolve Bible Church. Because it is important for you to be solid in knowing the very Word of God. Because we want to be able to come alongside and spot the different lies that the false teachers or the false teaching that we see today. So John is concerned that we would know the foundational teaching that God has given to us through the scripture and through the teachings of the apostles. I want you to turn your Bible with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 16. In the book of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 16, and this is what the Word of God says. And He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Listen to this in verse 14. So that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. You see, church, I want to come alongside to you and remind you that God has brought teachers here in our church, at Resolve Bible Church. We have a responsibility before a holy God that He has called us to stand behind this pulpit. Our responsibility is to teach you the very Word of God, not our opinion, not our desire, not our thoughts, but rather the very Word of God. That is our responsibility as ministers of the Word of God. And as you see that in Ephesians chapter 4, and it's very clear to us in what we ought to do, that as we teach you God's Word, you are to do the work of the ministry, but as we teach you God's Word, so you will not be what? In verse 14, right? So that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried away. Be careful with that. And so the apostle John, he sees this as an anchor point to keep us from falling in, from being blown around by every wind of doctrine, by every fad that come through, by every trend that circulated in popular culture, even in the larger Christian community. I know there's a lot of Christian fads out there. Everything is just popular. Look at this book. It's selling by millions. Be careful. Be careful what you read. Be careful with the songs that you're listening to. I know I'm going back over and over because this is so important. Because those things that we're reading, those things that we're listening to, if you're not careful, it will discourage you. It will mislead you in faithfully following the very truth of God. So again, our anchor point is to be the truth of God. And John doesn't just mean knowing certain facts about the Old and the New Testaments. The apostle means that we would have so ingrained this truth. Not that we would be able to win a Bible trivia pursuit game. right? Or Bible B, right? None about that. But so that in the crisis points of our lives, in the pressure points of our lives, our response is biblical. And this is what, why we're equipping you to know the Word of God. This is why we're faithfully, that we're teaching you the very Word of God. Because when you are in the point of crisis, as a follower of Christ, you need the very Word of God. You need to be able to turn and not just simply call your pastor and that you're asking for help. But you can actually turn to the Word of God because you have been so faithful in studying and in engraving this truth into your heart, not just into your mind, but rather into your heart. So when trial comes, when tribulation comes, when all this crisis comes in your life, you'll be able to respond biblically. So that is that if we don't simply approve, but that we so embrace the truth of God's word, that in order the way that we respond to the crisis and pressures of life. You know, you learn what you really believe when a crisis comes. Let me say that again. You learn what you really believe when a crisis comes into your life. When the diagnosis comes through, when the doctor tells you it's cancer, and the doctor tells you we can't do anything for you, what do you do then? Where do you turn? How do you find comfort in knowing that you have cancer in your body? How about when your spouse walks out from your marriage, from your family? When you find your spouse unfaithful, where do you go? How should you feel? When a child dies for no apparent reason, what do you do? Where do you go? Where do you find comfort knowing that you have carried this child in you all these weeks and months, and all of a sudden he or she dies? When there are pressures of compromise in your vacation, in your vocation, in your job, in your profession, when you are tempted to a pleasure which you would love to indulge, but you are faced with either being faithful to God or indulging that pleasure. In all of these circumstances, in a thousand more, we see what we really believe by how we respond in those circumstances. The way we respond is an indicator to what we really believe. It's true. See, we're not just talking about dealing with false teachers, but knowing the very Word of God by being able to handle and understand the very Word of God. When you and I are in the midst of trials, when you and I are in the midst of a crisis point, what do we do then? You see, we'll be able to apply this truth into our lives, into our crisis, because we know this. We're not just studying it now. We're not just looking at this now. Because God uses His Word to help us live a life that pleases Him in the midst of our trials, in the midst of your difficulties, in the midst of your temptations. God is there. He brings His truth into our hearts, into our lives. Again, church, is this. The way we respond is an indicator to what we really believe is true. Not simply assenting to it, but having so embraced it that when the crisis comes, you respond because you have embraced that truth personally. And it radically changes the way you think about life, the way you look at the world, the way you face personal crisis, the way you bear witness in your life to those around you. What a great opportunity for us in the midst of this pandemic that God has given us all these weeks, all this. It's been, 8 weeks already that we find ourselves worshiping at home instead of worshiping publicly here in this building. And how God has given us those times, those days, those weeks to grow, to learn more about Him. I hope you're taking that advantage. Because pretty soon, we're going to be going back to our old ways. We're not going to be stuck at home anymore. We're not going to be isolated in our homes in the next couple of months. But even now, how do we use the very time that God has given us into growing and learning and abiding in the truth? So I want to encourage you that you believe in the Lord Savior Jesus Christ. That he is the Messiah, the one way to salvation, to be received by faith according to the grace of God. And so Apostle John is telling us here that the first way to resist these strange teachings is to go back to the anchor point of the Word of God. So Apostle Paul puts it a little bit differently in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. So if you have your Bible with me, turn to Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. And this is what the Word of God says. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Where our responsibility is to be teaching, admonishing one another, singing together. And man, I miss those times here in our building. And I can't wait when the time comes. But for now, we're gathering, we're encouraging one another into God's Word. I hope you're taking advantage of connecting with your fellow believers, with your church. Because it is important for your growth. It is important for you to avoid and to flee from error. Because it's important for us to be consistently meeting together. Yes, God has given us technology to be able to meet virtually. And I hope you're taking advantage of that. And this is what Paul is saying in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. To encourage all of us together to think in accordance with the Word of God, with the apostle teaching, what John is saying in these verses, abide in it. Abide in the apostles' teaching. Abide in the basic truth, the fundamental truth of the Christian faith. And that's why it's so important for us to study Fundamentals of the Faith, FOF. Because there you get to see the basic truth of Christianity, the basic truth of the apostles' teaching. So John says, abide in the Bible truth which the apostles have taught you. That's your anchor point. That's what John is saying here. So the second thing I want us to look at is this, in verses 27 through 28. We are to abide in Him. We are to abide in Him. So he just doesn't simply finish in verse 26. He goes on to say, and you'll see, and we'll see it together in verse 27, that we are to abide in Him. The question is, who is Him? And we'll see it here together in verse 27. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. But the anointing that you receive from Him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you, but as His anointing teaches you about everything and is true and is no lie, just as He's taught you, abide in Him. Abide in Him. So now John, what is John saying there? John is saying, first of all, that we are to abide in a person. Now, who is the person about whom he is speaking? It is true that the New Testament teaches us that we are to abide in Christ. That is a very important New Testament imperative. But there is also this imperative that we are to abide in the Spirit, capital S. And that is who John is speaking of now. We are to abide in the Spirit. And John uses the phrase, the anointing, in reference to the indwelling of the precious Holy Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit in each believer's life. Now you'll see that this is a direct result of something that Jesus has taught to John and the disciples in the night that he was betrayed in John chapter 14. So if you turn your Bible with me to the book of John chapter 14. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John 14. Let's read on verse 25 and 26. Verse 25 says, "These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you." Verse 26, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." So as Jesus speaks to His disciples that last night of His public ministry, He says to them in those verses, "These things I have spoken to you while I'm still with you, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit." And so Jesus tells the disciples that the Father is sending another teacher to them. So this means that believers place their total trust in Him, rely on Him for guidance and for strength, and live as He directs. It implies a personal life-giving relationship. And that's how we ought to address the Holy Spirit in our lives. We are to truly rely on Him for guidance. The Bible tells us He convicts us of our sins. In John 15, verse 5, says this, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing." So in Jesus' words about His being the vine and His followers the branches. So now John's picking up on that here in verse 27, and he's not saying that Christians no longer need teachers. This doesn't mean that Christians should turn away from the counsel of faithful ministers and attempt to make it in their own. In fact, that often will lead them astray. If John is trying to get at the idea that Christians do not need teachers, then we would need to get rid of ministers and elders and anybody else who teaches the Bible and just do it in our own. But that's not what John is talking about here. Instead, what it means is that Christians can discern truth and reject falsehood that you and I can reject false teaching. The better believers know the truth, the more easily they will be able to identify a lie. That's why I spent the last couple of minutes in about abiding in it, about the abiding in the apostles' teaching in point one. Because this is what we need to have. That for us to be able to discern truth and reject falsehood, we must know the truth. Because 1 John, the book of 1 John, is a letter in which John gives teaching to Christians. So clearly, he doesn't mean that Christian does not need teaching. But what he does mean is this. These false teachers are coming into this church. And what are they saying? They're saying, we have secret teaching which even the apostles do not know about, and with it, it can change, it can transform our lives. That's what they're saying. But don't believe them. That's what John is saying. They're adding something else to what the apostles had taught them. What is John saying then? John is saying that there was a time when he sat in the hearing of Jesus, and Jesus said, I'm going to send people a teacher, and that teacher is going to live in them. You see, Apostle John is turning and he's saying to those false teachers, he's saying, look, you have got some secrets that I don't know about. What are you talking about? What have you been teaching all these people? What are you babbling about? And John's like, and he wants to tell them. He wants to straighten them out, right? Says, I'm indwelt by the teacher sent by God, the third person of the Trinity. Like, can you surpass his teachings? That's what he's addressing to these false teachers. I mean, he has some teachings that he doesn't know about. I mean, and John's like, I mean, I would love to hear what those teachings are. You see, John is saying that one of the fulfillments of the promise in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 31, verse 31 through 34, if you open your Bible to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 31, starting on verse 31 says, through 34, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them so to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. And so John is saying that one of the fulfillments of the promise there, that in the new covenant, we would all know him from the greatest to the least, is that we would be taught of God himself. That he is our main teacher. And John is saying that in the coming of the Holy Spirit, the teacher himself indwells us. It's not simply that God gives us the truth and says, now go learn it the best you can. It is that he gives us the truth, the word of God, and then he gives us the author, the writer of the word of God, the Holy Spirit of God, to indwell us and to illuminate us to the truth. To show us what this truth is about. And so the Holy Spirit is active in that role, in how we look at God's word. This is why we pray for illumination before we read God's word. That's why we pray for understanding Because if you and I are just reading this text in our own ability, we won't be able to understand any of this. It will just be another book. But man, when we open God's Word, when we open God's Word with a leading, with the guidance of the Holy Spirit, it will transform our lives. It will transform our lives. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Listen to this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. And this is what the Word of God says. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. You see, divine revelation would be useless to us if we were not able to comprehend it. That is why the Holy Spirit enlightens the minds of every believer so they are able to understand the truths of Scripture and for us to be able to submit to its teachings. Through illumination of the Word, the Holy Spirit enables us to discern divine truth. I mean, when you look at Psalm 119, verse 18, right? I mean, that's a great passage to memorize. That God will give us understanding, that God would open our eyes that we may behold the wonderful things out of His law. And that's what we're praying. That's what we're asking every time we open the Word, the very Word of God, is that the Holy Spirit would open our eyes that we may behold, not just for the sake of reading, but for the sake of transformation. That when we understand the very Word of God, it's that our lives have been changed. Because we are abiding, we're in step with the Holy Spirit. Because, my beloved, spiritual realities that the unconverted are unable to truly comprehend until the Holy Spirit intervenes in the unbeliever's heart, the sinner will continue to reject the truth of the gospel. See, that's why when we are sharing the gospel, when we are proclaiming the Word of God, oh, and how we pray for the working of the Holy Spirit in the lives of unbelievers. Because it is the work of the Holy Spirit to convict, to reveal their wickedness, to show them that God is a holy God and we are wicked in our very hearts. You see, anyone can memorize facts, listen to sermons, and gain some level of intellectual understanding about the basic points of biblical doctrine, but devoid of the Spirit's power, God's Word will never penetrate the sinful soul. Believers, on the other hand, have been made alive by the Spirit of God, who now indwells in each every one of us. Thus, Christians have a resident truth teacher who enlightens us with understanding of the very Word of God, enabling us to know and submit to the truth of the Scripture. Through the Spirit's work of inspiration applied only to the human authors of Scripture, His ministry of illumination is given to all believers. Inspiration has given us the message inscribed on the pages of Scripture. Illumination inscribes that message on our hearts. enabling us to understand what it means. So as we rely on the Spirit of God to shine the light of truth brightly in our minds, and how we need to rely on the Holy Spirit for us to understand, because now you're wondering why you don't understand what you're reading, because you're not relying on what the Holy Spirit is doing in your life. I mean, we could easily follow our sinful desires because we're not walking in step of the Holy Spirit. We're not abiding in Him. We need to understand the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives today, church. The Bible is a living book because the living Spirit of God energizes and empowers the very Word of God. You see, the Word of God convicts us. The Word of God instructs us. The Word of God equips us. He strengthens us. The Word of God protects us, enables us to grow. Or more accurately, the Holy Spirit does all those things as He activates the truth of Scripture into our hearts. See, we're able to do all those things, church, because of the Holy Spirit. As believers, we honor the Spirit when we honor the Scriptures, studying them diligently, applying them carefully, arming our minds with the precepts of God's Word, and embracing the teaching with all of our hearts. The Spirit has given us the Word. This, the apostles' teaching. He has opened our eyes to understand its vast riches. Man, when you read the Word of God, that's how we ought to be looking. That's how we are to be seeing the very Word of God. Oh, that God will open our eyes indeed to understand the vast riches of His Word. And the Holy Spirit empowers us its truth in our lives as He conforms us into the image of our Savior, Jesus Christ. My beloved, to stay true to Christ, we need to follow His Word. We need to follow His Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit help you discern truth from error. See, in our own ability, in our own power, in our own strength, in our own mind, we will not be able to discern what is true and what is false. We need to rely on the Holy Spirit. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to be in His Word. And lastly, this is how, and John is saying here, here's how you resist false teaching. First of all, go to the truth, and you don't listen to crazy new ideas. You go to the truth, you go back to the things which taught you in the Word of God, the things which are set forth in the Gospels, the things which are the core of the apostles' teaching. And secondly, you rely on the Holy Spirit who indwells you. It says you abide in it and you abide in Him in order to escape deadly error. That is the solution, church, for us to be able to escape or remove ourselves or run away or flee from error. Is we need to abide in the truth and abide in the Holy Spirit. So John says, Christians must live and grow in the Holy Spirit. They must abide in Him. Listen to it again. The anointing which you receive from Him abides in you. And you look at the end of the verse, you abide in Him. Listen to that. Abide in Him. Abide in the Holy Spirit. Listen to the logic of what John says. The Spirit abides in us, in order that we might abide in Him. So the question is, what then does it mean for us to abide in Him? What does it mean for us to continue in the Spirit, or to use the Apostle Paul's language he elsewhere, or to say to keep in step with the Spirit, to follow the guidance of the Spirit. Well, first and foremost, here it means to rely on the Holy Spirit, to yield to His influences. What is our great struggle with sin in this world? Our great struggle is a struggle in which our desires yields themselves to the world and the devil. That is our sinful desires. That's the desire of the flesh, yet yield themselves to the influence of the world and of the evil one. That is our great struggle with sin in the world, when we find ourselves doing the things of the world. So the question is, as I close, what do we need to do in order to grow in grace? What do we need to do? What's this look like for us in light of what the scripture says? Instead of yielding ourselves to the flesh and to the world and to the devil, we yield ourselves to the influence. We need to yield ourselves in the influence of the Spirit of God. The Spirit is not only going to enlighten us to the truth, but He is going to influence us in the ways of grace. See, the gifts of the Spirit, the graces of the Spirit are designed to do what? Produce the fruit of the Spirit. As we have learned from Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. Worldliness is produced by what? By yielding to the world and the flesh and the devil. So, in contrast, growing more like Christ, abiding in Christ, abiding in the Spirit comes when we purpose ourselves, when you and I are intentional to yield to the influence of the Spirit's grace at work in our lives. So what will that mean? It will mean believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, because Jesus says in John 14, in John 15, in John 16, that the Spirit will come to do what? To testify of me. Anytime someone says, I have the Spirit, and then says the Spirit leads you away from Christ and away from the Bible, and you can be sure that it's a false teacher, that's a false prophet. Because the Spirit always, always leads us to Christ and to the Scripture. So abiding in the Spirit and yielding to His influences will mean believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. It will mean embracing Jesus as Savior and Lord. There's no embracing Jesus in the New Testament as Savior without embracing Him as Lord. That's why Christ is Lord and Savior of your life. See, when we attempt to divide those things today, we are putting us under what God has said, do not divide. Jesus is Lord and Savior. It is the Lord who saves us. And so the Spirit influences us to embrace Jesus as Savior and Lord. The Spirit embraces us to delight in doing what God says. The Holy Spirit influences us to love to do what Jesus has told us to do, to live in accordance with the Word. He influences us to continue to believe the gospel and to be nourished and nurtured in our understanding of the Scripture. You see, the Holy Spirit influences us to love one another, to relate in deliberate self-commitment to the community of the faith, to the communion of the saints, to the church, and to the body of Christ. That's what the Holy Spirit does. That's why the only reason that you and I are excited to gather together, because of the influence of the Holy Spirit in each and every one of our lives. So I hope you feel that way. That you're not content with just listening and watching from home and worshiping from home. Our purpose as believers, as followers of Christ, is to gather publicly. So we know how we are doing. That we see each other's walk. That we are applying and living out the one another in our community as believers of Christ. And that is only kind of abiding that can prepare us. So John says in verse 28, for the second coming, John says, you want to be unashamed when Jesus comes again, then here's what you do. You abide in it. You abide in the word, in the gospel preached by the apostles, and you abide in him. That is the Holy Spirit whose work is from Christ in you and to work the word of God into all of your hearts in life. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. Ephesians 3, 14. As I close in this part of our message, Colossians 3:14. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in you. In your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. And everyone said, amen. You see, I love the Apostle Paul's prayer here in Ephesians 3. And he's getting the same thing. And Paul has given us the final piece of that puzzle. The Spirit abides in us. Why? So that Christ will abide in us, and thus that we might abide in the Spirit and in Christ. In other words, the Spirit indwells us all as believers, all. Not super Christians, not at a later stage after conversion. He indwells all believers. Why? Why? So that Christ might be formed in our hearts, so that our hearts might become a suitable home for the living God who is Jesus Christ. And so we are to abide in him. We are to rely on him. We are to depend on him. We are to yield ourselves to his influences, because what is he trying to do? He's trying to exalt Christ. He's trying to magnify Christ into our hearts and lead us back to his word. That's what the Holy Spirit is doing. So here, as we turn back to 1 John, this is John's formula. You abide in the apostles' teaching, you abide in the Bible truth, and you abide in him. You rely on the Holy Spirit, and you will navigate all those tricky things, and you'll be able to move through every wind of doctrine in the course of your walk with God in Jesus Christ. So church, that's what John is calling us to do. As followers of Christ, as believers, we take comfort in that. If you don't know Jesus Christ today, that very instruction to Christian also helps us. If you would know Jesus savingly, let me tell you, go for it. The apostles' teaching, and you ask for the Holy Spirit to open your eyes to understand who he is. God will hear that cry. Let us understand that point. That's how important it is for us and what God is calling us as followers of Christ, even if you do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior today. Simply ask and pray in humility. Whether you're a Christian or not, and how we approach our Heavenly Father and asking that the Holy Spirit will convict us, will open our eyes to know its truth. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we need Jesus. We need Jesus Christ in the midst of our pandemic, in the midst of our difficulties, in the midst of our trials, in the midst of our challenging times. We need Jesus. We need our Savior, Jesus Christ. We need the real Jesus, not what the people are telling out there. And all these false teachers, and all these false teachings that we see. We need the real Jesus, the Jesus who is offered in the gospel. The Jesus that we see from the very scripture. The Jesus that the Father testifies of, that the prophet testifies of. This Jesus that we need today. Oh, we find Jesus by going to His Word and by being taught by His substitute teacher, the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the role of the Holy Spirit who points us to Him. And God, I pray that we would rely, that we would trust in Him. That You would open our eyes, God. Oh, Lord, I pray that we would abide in the apostles' teaching, that we would abide in the truth of the Scripture. Oh, Lord, help us to magnify You. Oh, Lord, that we would come to know Christ and to know this eternal truth, this eternal life, that as we walk with Him, God, open our eyes. And Lord, for those who are watching and listening, God, I pray that You would work in their hearts even now. Wherever they may be, Lord, I pray that You would convict them, that the Holy Spirit will convict them of their need of You. Please, Lord, transform us. Transform us by Your Spirit. May we humble ourselves, and I thank You for this time. We give You praise, and we give You glory. We pray for all these things in the precious name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And everyone said, Amen and Amen.